Thank you so much, sister. That was lovely. It's good to be back again tonight. Responsibility of bringing the gospel message to you here at Lurgan. Can I say just before we open God's word that our God, the God we worship, the God we love, God we adore, is a God who has revealed himself in Scripture. He's revealed himself to be a loving God, a merciful God, even a long-suffering God, and I can attest to that. But sometimes, even though he is all of this, enough is enough. Genesis 6 and 3 says, "My spirit will not always strive with man." And in Romans 1 in the New Testament, we read, three times, God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. We're going to meet tonight in Scripture someone who knows the truth of this fact. So I want us to turn, please, first of all, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 14. And I was just sitting there thinking of how appropriate our sister's choice of peace was for tonight. Mark chapter 6 and verse 14. And it reads, "And King Herod heard of him," that is Jesus, "for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, 'It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead.' For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, 'It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife.' Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing he was a just man, and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. When a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. When the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, 'Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee.' And he sware unto her, 'Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee, unto the half of my kingdom.' And she went forth and said unto her mother, 'What shall I ask?' And she said, 'The head of John the Baptist.' She came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, 'I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist.' And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, for the sakes of which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother." We'll end our reading at verse 28 and pray the Lord blesses it to our hearts this evening. We began reading in Mark 6 and 14, and we read of Herod hearing of him. He heard of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he heard of all that was going on in the region. He heard the message of Jesus Christ, and he heard of the miracles of Jesus. The Scripture says, "For his name was spread abroad." The message that Jesus preached was the same message that John preached: repent and believe the gospel. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, "For therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." That is interesting tonight, because here's a man who believed in the resurrection from the dead. And not everyone at that time in Israel believed that. Here was a man who had understanding of Scripture. He knew the Scriptures. He was convinced that John had risen from the dead. But more than this, he was convicted because of the circumstances of John's death. He knew that John was a just man and an holy man. Herod, the Herods were a ruthless family. They ruled in Israel from 4 BC to 70 AD. They were a cruel lot. They even assassinated their own mothers, their brothers, and anyone who would get in their way on their claim on the ladder of power. Life meant really nothing to them. Six of them are mentioned in Scripture. When we read through the Scriptures, we find that there is Herod the Great, first of all, the one who tried to kill the Lord Jesus Christ as a little baby. His sons, Herod Antipas, the tetrarch, Herod Archelaus, Herod Philip, then there's Herod Agrippa I and Herod Agrippa II, whom we meet in the Acts of the Apostles. John said it was, or Herod said it was John raised from the dead. But verse 15 says others said it's Elias. Others said that it's a prophet or as one of the prophets. But when Herod Antipas, that's who it was, the youngest son of Herod the Great, heard thereof, he said it's John. He was convinced it was John, whom I beheaded, has risen from the dead. He was convinced. He was convicted. He was concerned, and the reasons are given in the following verses. For believe it or not, Herod, wicked as he was, had a conscience. So I want to walk through some of these verses here tonight, verses 17 to 28, and learn about Herod. Because Herod is the man who silenced the voice of God. You know, it's possible to silence the voice of God. First thing that Herod did wrong, he did five of them, was he was persuaded by the voice of his wife. Verse 17 through 20 says, for Herod himself sent forth and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto her, it is not lawful for thee to have your brother's wife. John the Baptist had confronted Herod. John the Baptist was not afraid of this tyrant. John the Baptist never, ever minced his words. Turned to the Pharisees one day and he called them a generation of vipers. And he asked them who had warned them to flee from the wrath to come. He had called the king to repentance. He had gone to Herod and he had told Herod to turn away from his sin and to seek God's forgiveness. But to do this, Herod would have had to put Herodias away. And Herodias feared her position in life. And she strove to get rid of John. The word of God says in verse 19, therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. You see, though Herod pandered to his wife, he protected John. He protected John. He compromised his convictions for calm. He knew that what Herodias wanted was wrong, but he compromised his convictions for calm, for a peaceable life. It says in verse 20, very plainly, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy. He protected him. And when he observed him, that just means when he heard him, he did, listen to what it says in the original language. It says, potipeio, which means he cast out, or he dealt with many things and heard him gladly. Do you know, people are prepared to cast out many things. When they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're prepared to do so much. They're prepared to clean up their act, but they're not prepared to accept Christ as their Savior. Herod heard John. And when he heard John here, he heard the voice of God. For the Bible tells us that John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And the message that he cried out was to prepare. Can I ask you a question tonight if you're not saved in the meeting? Have you heard the voice of God through some preacher pleading with you to prepare? Prepare ye the way of the Lord, was John's cry. The voice of encouragement to make their hearts ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Or more solemn than that, the Old Testament speaks to prepare to meet your God. The voice of warning. For the truth is that you will stand before God one day, and you're not ready to stand there. And I believe tonight in our meeting, if you're here and you've heard the gospel, you've heard it sang tonight, you've heard it sang in a special solo, I believe that you know that you're not ready. You're not ready to meet God. Thing is, are you listening to the voice of God? Or are you listening to the voice of someone else? Maybe a partner, a peer, or maybe even a professor at school or university. Someone who tells you that Christianity or the Bible is a lot of nonsense. You're listening to someone else rather than listening to the voice of God. I would advise you tonight to hear the Lord's voice while you still can, because he says, I will not always strive with man. Herod here in our story, he heard him gladly. He's cleaning up his act. But he held on to one particular sin that he was not going to give up. And that was Herodias. He was persuaded by the voice of his wife. And then secondly, he was pleased with the performance of his niece. Verse 21 says, and when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and the chief men of Galilee. Party was in full swing. Herod's birthday party. Everyone who mattered in and around Galilee that evening was there. Royalty was there. The king was there. The military was there. The political figures of the day, they were all there. The wine was flowing and the entertainment was good. And then it happened. Verse 22 tells us. When the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and them who sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. Do you know, when the party's in full swing, when the wine's flowing, this is what he said. And he went further. He swore unto her, whatever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto half of my kingdom. Herod was pleased with her performance. And the word pleased here has the idea of excitement attached to it. It's the word aresco. It means an excited pleasure. Salome had danced lewdly before the king and his guests and pleased them all. All of these worldly men. This wasn't just an ordinary artistic dance. This was a lewd dance. And she pleased them all, especially Herod. And Herod, in a moment of haste, seeking to please the young woman, he offered her an open-handed gift of whatever she chose, up to half his kingdom. What did that mean, up to half his kingdom? Well, it was a way for Herod to say to her before them all, make your request big. Don't ask for a silly little thing. Make your request big. Something that will be spoken about in years to come. He really was pleased with the performance of his niece. And the moral of this is, be careful. Be careful what your emotions are telling you to do when you're out in the world merrymaking, enjoying yourself, or at the office party, or out with all of your friends when the drink is flowing, the alcohol's flowing. Everything seems great. Be careful. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. For there's consequences. Herod was pleased with the performance of his niece. But he was perplexed with Salome's request here. Something happened that he was never expecting. It says in verse 24, she went and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, that the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by on a charger the head of John the Baptist. You can picture the scene, this beautiful young girl asking for such a gruesome gift on a platter. Herod had been tricked by Herodias here, and he knew it. It says the king was exceedingly sorry. He was grieved. He was perplexed. He could never have anticipated this in a million years, that this would have been what the young woman would have asked him. What could he have done? Was his hands really tied? Well, I don't think so. I think he could have turned and he could have said to her, I promised you a gift, not your mother. He could have said, I offered you a gift, not murder. He could have just simply swallowed his pride and says no. But the crowd and his credibility and his conceitedness would not allow him to do any of these things. He had committed himself, and he wasn't about to back down. He was perplexed, but not prepared to do anything about it. But then fourthly, he was pressured by the presence of his peers. Because it says in verse 26, yet for the oath's sake, you know, oaths were very important in those days. When someone swore an oath, they were obliged to keep it. But not an oath such as this. For the oath's sake, and for their sakes, that's more to the point. Those that sat with him, he would not reject her. You know, peer pressure, young people will know about this. Peer pressure causes more sin and hurt than most things in life. People will do things before a crowd that they'd never do when they're on their own. Why would this be? Well, maybe it's so that they might seem to be popular, that they might be the center of attraction. Maybe because there's safety in numbers. Many things crowds do because there's a large number of them. Maybe it's just because there's something called mob rule. But all of this is only a charade. Because just because it's accepted by the crowd doesn't make it right. Do you know, it takes a real man. It takes a real woman, a real young person to go against the crowd. And to say, no, I'm not going that way, or I'm not doing that thing. Whether you expect me to or not, I'm not going to do it. Verse 27 says, and immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded John in prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. You can picture it. They were all waiting to see what would take place. What would Herod do? Would he give in? Would he grant her wish? And in a short time, that executioner came in with a board and the head of John the Baptist on it, presented it to the young girl, and she took it to her mother. Do you know, it's such a sad, sad story. Not because a prophet had died for what he believed in. Not especially because John the Baptist had died. The Lord Jesus says, greater man has not been born of woman than John the Baptist. But not because of that primarily. But it was sad because that was the moment in Herod's life when he silenced the voice of God. He cut his own lifeline. God would never, ever speak to him again. The cross that we've been singing about tonight, Christ's death for sinners, that wonderful, merciful work of Christ on the cross at Calvary when he laid down his life for all men, regardless of who they are or who they were. Do you know when they took the Lord Jesus and brought him before the Sanhedrin and accused him falsely, when they took him to Pilate and Pilate found nothing wrong with him, but yet of all said he should be crucified after he had scourged him, after they had planted the crown of thorns on his head. When the Lord Jesus Christ went all through all of that and ended up on that cross at Calvary, dying for the lost, sinful world, Herod would never, ever get to hear that that was done for him. never hear of the good news of what it was all about. Even the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, he would never get to hear that it was for him. That's sad. Turn with me quickly to Luke's Gospel in chapter 23. Luke 23. We're going to learn of the consequences. The consequences of silencing the voice of God. And our sister sang it. And you know, it's possible for someone in this meeting tonight to be hearing the gospel message that God loves you, that Christ went to a cross at Calvary for you, that you might be saved. It's possible that you could be hearing this for the very, very last time. And if you reject it, you silence, you may silence the very voice of God. It says in verse 6 of chapter 23, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man, Jesus, were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Listen to verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but Jesus answered him nothing. Here was a man who had missed his opportunity. The opportune day had come on his birthday a few years earlier, and he had missed his opportunity, and God's Spirit never did strive with him again, even though he was desirous to hear more, even though he wanted to see a miracle, even though he believed everything that he had heard about Jesus. If he hadn't have believed it, he wouldn't have asked to see the miracle. He had questions for the Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus answered him not a word. You know, it's possible that you could go from a meeting like this, and having heard the gospel for the last time, later in your life, seeking after God, and God's silence is all that you hear. And you can't come to him on your own, because the word of God says that no man comes unto the Father unless the Father in heaven draws him. Herod had missed his opportunity. And history tells us what became of Herod. Herod was accused of conspiracy by his nephew Agrippa I and was exiled to Gaul by Caligula, where he died with his wife Herodias at his side. And the only words that Herod will hear spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ will be this: depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's solemn. That's solemn. And what is more solemn is that there could be some here tonight, or maybe listening to my voice, who could be in danger of the same fate. I ask the question, how many times have you heard the voice of God? Or you might say, preacher, I haven't heard the voice of God. Let me tell you, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. For the scriptures themselves are God-breathed. And God says through his holy word, today if you will hear my voice and harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time, the opportune time to hear the Lord's voice. Today is the day of salvation. You know, I have found in reading scripture that only when God refers to himself does he speak of tomorrow. The Lord God might say, tomorrow I will do a new thing. Yeah, God can speak about tomorrow when he speaks of himself, but never when he's speaking of us as sinners before we come to him. The Bible says very plainly, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And that's why we encourage those of you here tonight who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, who have never bowed the knee, put down your puny arms of rebellion, have never come and asked the Lord Jesus to forgive you and to make you the Christian that he wants you to be. That's why we plead with you tonight. Don't reject. Don't reject another opportunity. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight. Put your faith in him, for there is no guarantee that there will ever be another opportunity. Don't do as Herod did. Don't silence the voice of God. For as he says in his word, I will not always strive with man. Let's pray. Our Father,